Thank you, Curtis. I appreciate that. Appreciate that. My name's John Allred, and I am an alcoholic. Little serenity tester for you guys out there in Virginia today. I like to do that. You know, I used to like to drive down the road when you have. I'm gonna do this just real quick. I'm gonna take and I gotta X out all my other apps that are open so I don't end up messing this up. Okay, because if I have too many apps open on my computer, then it messes up Zoom. But anyway, I like to do those little serenity tests. You know, I like to be driving down the road. When you see those guys with the Easy Does It bumper sticker, I like to cut them off on the freeway. Tell you real quick which step they're working when you do that, you know. I think most of those guys are working step one because they always flash you one finger when you do that, you know. I think they're on step one on that deal. Well, I'm glad to be here. I was coming back from my in-laws' house, and they live down at Lake Quitney, and they had some road construction I hadn't counted on, so we got here a little late. I appreciate it. We're on time, 3 minutes late. That's good Dallas time. I'm tickled to be here, and I got to tell you, I don't know if there are any Al-Anons in this open meet or not, but I love the Al-Anon program. I want to tell you that. My wife is not an alcoholic. She started going to Al-Anon when we got sober. But I tell you, I never used to go to those Al-Anon meetings. I'd go to these conferences, and they'd have these Al-Anon luncheons on Saturday afternoon at lunch. They'd have an Al-Anon luncheon. And then the Al-Anon speaker would speak at noon at these conferences. And I'd never go. They'd give me this little ticket. I'd never go. And then I thought a few years ago, I was sitting there 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I thought, well, I'm single. That's where the women are. So I'll go to this Al-Anon luncheon. I'm out in California, this Al-Anon luncheon. And it was a great meeting. A lot of women go to those Al-Anon meetings. You guys don't go if you're single. You're missing a lot of women at those meetings. But there's this friend of mine speaking. She's an Al-Anon speaker. Known her for years. Never heard her story before. And she's sharing. And she's from Canada. She's talking about stabbing her husband in the back. And she felt bad about it. Shared with her Al-Anon sponsor. Her Al-Anon sponsor shared with her how she'd tried to suffocate her husband. I'm looking around that meeting. All the women. Yep. I'll stick with the alcoholic women, thank you. I mean, come on. That's a tough program there, you know. That was a fun convention, I tell you that. I'm sitting there, and in that hotel in the convention center, and there's a big shopping mall attached to the convention center. So after that, I'm sitting out there in the mall, just people watching, eating some frozen yogurt in between meetings. And here comes these punk rockers. They're from AA. They got their name badge on, so they're in the conference. Punk rockers. Y'all see those? Got punk rockers in Virginia? I tell you, guy's got a pink spike going straight up in the air. He's got a blue spike going out this way, and a blonde spike going out this way. And they're dressed, well, kind of the way I used to dress when I lived under the bridge, right? And so boy and girl, they're holding hands, dressed kind of like the way I used to dress when I lived under the bridge. And so right next where I'm sitting is this kiosk with sunglasses. The guy goes up, puts on these sunglasses, and his girlfriend looks at him, and she says, "Take those off. They make you look stupid." Just a distorted perception of reality, you know? Just distorted perception of reality. We're not the losers of that distorted perception of reality. Some normal people got that distorted. Right next to where that sunglass boutique is, there's a jewelry store. A lot of jewelry, earrings, women's jewelry stuff, boutique. And I got a big sign in the window that says, "Ears pierced while you wait." What's your turn to that? You gotta drop your ears off, start picking them up later. You know, distorted perception of reality. I got that distorted perception. That's not my fault. I'm an adult child of non-alcoholics. That's a bitch. I mean, I got nobody to blame. Nobody in my family drinks. My dad doesn't drink. My brothers and sisters don't drink. My mom doesn't drink. I didn't drink growing up. I grew up in a very normal, healthy environment. Nobody drank, you know. They're just kind of middle, upper income America type stuff, you know. Went to high school, never drank in high school, was very athletic in high school. Went to college like you're supposed to go to college. Got married my senior year like you're supposed to get married your senior year. Nobody drank. It was really pretty good. Got out of high school, went in the insurance business, Salt Lake City. And things are great. I'd go to work, but I was afraid. I don't know what I was afraid of, but I'd go in the work in the morning, and my secretary would come up and give me these little pink notes. I'd say, what are these pink? What are these? She said, well, those are your messages. I said, who from? She said, I don't know. I said, what do you think they want? She said, I guess they want to buy insurance. I mean, for me, I mean, phones are scary. I hated phones. I mean, I like to have a phone. I like to make phone calls. But, man, if people call me on the phone, that phone would scare me to death. When you're practicing out, that phone would ring, ring, ring. You got to be, am I going to answer? Am I going to answer it? And then we finally got answering machines, you know, and that they had that little red light on them. And you hook it up to your phone, and when you come home at night, that little red light would be solid. If it was solid, that means nobody called. And if it was blinking, that means somebody called. And when you come home, that light's blinking at you, and you think, oh, God, who called, you know? You got to be, and you're scared to death to find out who called, because maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your boss, maybe it was your girlfriend you were dating, and you were out there till 2 o'clock in the morning. I tell you this. The only thing worse than that light blinking at you is if that light was solid. It means nobody called. And then walk around and you go, oh, God, nobody loves me. Nobody called. I've been gone all night. Nobody called. Nobody called. Nobody likes me, you know. And we finally got, that answer machines, and we got caller ID. I want to tell you all that stuff, all that technology, caller ID, answer machines. You young alcoholics, you have no idea the stark terror it is to have a telephone with no caller ID. That phone ring at you, and you're like, oh, my God, you know. They didn't screen your calls. All that technology, all that stuff was invented by alcoholics for alcoholics. That's what it was. That's really what makes it. Makes the practicing alcoholic a lot easier to drink when you got that caller ID and voicemail. But I wasn't drinking. But I ran into a buddy, Stuart drank. So I started hanging out with Stuart in the bar. I'm going to tell about a couple things. I'll tell you about my first drunk. I never drank. I started hanging out in the bar with Stuart. But I drank Coke. Never drank any booze. And finally when and I love the bar, by the way. I love everything about the bar. I've never been in a bar I didn't like. I like cowboy bars, lots of sawdust and peanut shells on the ground. I like New York fern bars, you know, lots of brass and glass and bright lights. I love those bars. Never been in a bar I didn't like. You got to dress up appropriately, you know, for the bar you're going to. And my sponsor pointed out to me, Santa, because I was a bar drinker. I never drank at home. And but I just get dressed up to go out to the bar, depending on the bar you're going to go to, right? My sponsor pointed out the insanity of that was I was always getting dressed up to go to jail. So it was just a bad deal. But I finally, when my second child was born, Stuart called me up and congratulated me. And he said, we're going to grab drinking tonight. And I said, my wife's in the house. Yeah, but so we're going to get drunk tonight. A bunch of us are going out. We're treating you for the celebration of this new baby. We're going to get you drunk. So I had my first drunk. So we got to this private club. And you had to be a member of a private club doing drinking. So we got to this private club. It's called the Winery, right downtown Salt Lake, crossing the Salt Palace. You walk in down there. Lights flashing, live band, music going, women. And had a great drunk, great drunk. I don't know what I drank. A lot of people know what they had the first drink, but I don't know what I drank. They buy me a drink. Light colored drink, got a cherry in it, drink it down. Somebody else buys another drink, it's dark drink, got a twist around it, I drink it down, you know. Somebody bought me a drink, had salt all around the rim. That'll make you thirsty drinking that drink. Just drink that down. Had a great, I danced, never used to dance. I found out a couple drinks, very good dancer. Danced that night, okay, danced with two lesbians. If they're out there dancing together, you know, and I thought they don't want me to join them. So I went out and joined. Then they left together, and there I was alone. But I learned something. When you're drunk, there's no rejection. You're just drunk. No rejection when you're drunk. You're just drunk. Sat down, drank the next drink in front of me. Got up the next morning, no real bad hangover. I called Stuart. I said, Stuart, I had a ball. He said, you did. you flat got after it, John. I said, do you think you're going to have a drink tonight? He said, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I'll probably stop and have one on the way home from work. I said, what time are you going to go to get off work? He said, well, John, I got to work till 3 o'clock. Can't leave till at least 3 o'clock. And I said, let's meet at 3:30. So I met at 3:30, got drunk again. Said, that's what I do. I never drank socially. I never got that cocktail or that glass of wine and visited and went home. Never did that. I like to drink to get drunk. In fact, 3 weeks after that first drink, I'm going to pull out in front of the liquor store at 10 in the morning. Because they open at 10, so I'm on time. Get there at 10, go in the liquor store, buy three little mini bottles of vodka. Those little mini bottles you get on the airplane, you know. I buy three of those little mini bottles. I sit out my, they told me you couldn't smell vodka. So I buy vodka. So I go to work. Buy three of those little mini bottles, crack it, and suck those little, that's hard. Holes only that big in those little bottles. You'll get a hernia sucking on those puppies, you know. And, then I'll be okay to go to work. And my life's changing. People are starting to tell me, slow down. John, this isn't a race. Slow down. Pace yourself, you know. And then they start to tell me I'm an alcoholic. And I read the mothers were just getting organized. And the mothers were mad at drunk drivers. And they were getting organized. I read in the newspaper that only 1 in 2,000 drunk drivers gets picked up for DWI. I read that and I thought, that's pretty good odds. 1 in 2,000. I can get drunk every single night for like 6 years before I got to worry about getting picked up for DWI. I've been drinking 6 months. 6 months to get my first DWI. I'm like, God, what are the odds of that? You know? And they start telling you, slow down, John. Then they start telling you you're alcoholic. I say, well, what's an alcoholic? How do you know you're an alcoholic? How do you know? What is an alcoholic? How do you know you are? What is that? John, don't get mad. It's a disease. Okay, let's go to the doctor. Let's find out. Well, we really can't. We can't go get a blood analysis. I mean, I watch CSI. They can tell everything with blood. We can't go. No, we can't get a blood analysis. This disease. Well, how do you know you're an alcoholic? Can we go get a CAT scan, an MRI or something? No. Well, how do you know you're an alcoholic? What's an alcoholic? So, okay, here's the deal. Y'all want me to quit drinking. Okay, what happens? Think about this. What happens 20 years from now, I find out I'm not an alcoholic. Okay, what about that? Huh? I've been on 20 years, I could have been drinking. You know, not going to take that kind of risk. Not going to take that kind of risk. Nope, not going to do it. They say, well, you drink too much. As soon as they told me I drank too much, I know I'm not an alcoholic because I never drank too much in my life. I got to tell you a secret. There's not an alcoholic you'll ever meet that ever drank too much. It's possible for the alcoholic to do that. You ever drink too much in your life? Oh, yeah, I can see somebody from this meeting tonight. You go to the bar after the meeting, have a couple of cocktails. The bartender says, you care for a cocktail? Oh, golly, let's see. I think I've had enough. Never had enough. See, I am an alcoholic, not because I drank too much. I'm an alcoholic because I couldn't drink enough. You ever drink enough in your life? Can't do it. Never drink. See, normal people, the Al-Anon folks, normal people can drink enough. So occasionally, but not very often, they might drink too much. But if you're an alcoholic, like I'm an alcoholic, you can't drink enough, you'll never drink too much. It's impossible to do that, you know. But I got problems. Got a lot of problems. Finally, my brother said, you better straighten up and fly right, because the folks think you're crazy. They're going to lock you up if you don't straighten up. And that's when I figured out my real problem. Utah is at a high altitude. Y'all see the Winter Olympics? It's in the mountains. Well, scientific fact, I saw this on the Discovery Channel. Scientific fact, people who live at high altitudes for prolonged periods of time actually have thinner blood than people who live at low altitudes. Thinner blood. I've been living in Utah my whole life. I got to have thin blood. But if you go out and you party hard on thin blood, you have a problem. What I need to do is get to sea level, thicken up my blood, I'll be okay. So I call a buddy of mine who's in Seattle, sea level, tell me about these problems. Like, I said, come out here. Take a year off, put your life back together. I said, I don't want to impose on you and, you know, Gail, your wife, and your five kids. He says, no one positions. So I said, I'll be there Tuesday. So I moved to Seattle, sea level. And when I'm in Seattle, not doing anything, just doing a little drinking and working on thickening my blood. And the next logical thing you want to do when you're in that condition, y'all know this, I don't need to tell you this, the next logical thing you want to do